if I got your Bible and ready to learn a little something today. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible and want to turn with me to Galatians, the sixth chapter, Galatians 6, I'm going to talk about a few things that will help us to work on the things that I gave you last week, these 10 things I gave you. These are just some things that will really help us to work on our boundaries and be healthy and work on the 10 things that I gave you last week. And you know, from time to time, how many realize that we're all sinners saved by grace? There's a Catholic channel I like to listen to every once in a while. We're an interdenominational church. We're not Catholic. We're not Baptist. We're not Pentecostal. We're an interdenominational, and we have people from all walks of different religious backgrounds here. Most of them believe in Jesus Christ, and that's great, isn't it? As long as Jesus is the master and the theme of your belief, you're in good shape, I believe, regardless of what you call yourself. But it says we're all sinners saved by grace, and this guy, they'll say, it's a talk show, and they'll say, how you doing today? And he said, oh, not bad for a sinner. This is the host of the show. And I thought, you know, how refreshing just to hear somebody say, you know, I realize I'm a sinner saved by grace. I haven't arrived. I haven't reached perfection. And so we need to realize that when we're looking at our boundaries and when we're looking at someone else's boundaries. And it says here in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you know, we claim to be spiritual, right? We're filled with the Holy Spirit, saved by grace, and we have the Holy Spirit in us. Restore. And that's the key. As we're looking at the things we're looking at today, when we have a difference, when our boundaries are colliding and we're trying to set boundaries that work for us and create harmony in the home, healthy boundaries, we should always be in a restore mode. Because what happens is how many knows when we collide with somebody, whether it's on an issue or some kind of value or something, and we're bumping heads, if we're not careful, we can become lawyers, and we want to plead our case, and we want to win the argument. And so he says, no, that's spiritual people. That's not what it's about. You know, it's about restoration, isn't it? In other words, if we're bumping heads in our relationship, can I restore as an individual? Establishing healthy boundaries, what can I do? And my thoughts always should be to restore, not to win the argument. And that was a real life changer for me because I love to debate an issue anyway. And so I try to maneuver and got pretty good at maneuvering and winning my arguments to prove my point. And that's, how many knows, that's, you might win a point and lose a friend. It's not about winning arguments, isn't it? So we that are spiritual, if we see someone that is taken in a trespass, or just maybe it's a difference that we're having to adjust, you know, he says, restore such an one in the spirit of what? Gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we should have a gentle attitude toward this. And he gives some good advice here. Bear one another's burdens. You know, the brunt of it's going to finally fall on you and your burdens, but isn't it nice just to have somebody come by and bear a part of your burden from time to time? And so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. So you see, the rejoicing, whether we get compliments or not when we've done something, he says, there's a rejoicing there, and you rejoice. And here's what I found. If I'll just do my best and what I'm supposed to be doing, God will send somebody along to send you a compliment or a good comment about what you're doing and in due season, right? And so he says in verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Each one shall bear his own load. And that's all I'm trying to do is help us to say, here's some things we need to look at to bear our load and do it effectively and be healthy. Let him who is taught the word, share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And here's the frame of mind I'm talking about. Get in the frame of mind where you're sowing good things to your problems and to your issues, especially in relationship, So if you're sowing good things, there's a promise from Scripture that says if you sow good stuff, you'll reap good stuff. How many knows that's difficult when you're headbutting to sow good stuff? What you want to sow is defensive stuff. You want to sow my side stuff, my right stuff, you intruded on me stuff, you know. So share, whatever we sow, we'll reap. So if you're sowing good things, you don't have to worry about, you know, your boss or somebody that's coming down on you. Just keep sowing good things and let God worry about the fruit. How many knows the fruit will come? The relief, the help we're looking for, the restoration will come. For he who sows to his flesh, and there's what I'm talking about. We get in the flesh and we sow. You hit me, I'll hit you. You badmouth me, I'll badmouth you. You know, if we sow in the flesh, of the flesh we'll reap corruption. But he who sows in the spirit, love your enemy, pray for them, bless them. You know, all the things it teaches us to sow: forgiveness, mercy, grace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Sowing all those things, he says, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary. How many's ever grown weary? You know, in counseling, sometimes people say, "It is wearing me out." So he said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." In other words, don't let somebody else's mess keep you from doing good. Here's one thing I might give you on that. And sometimes good doesn't look good in the beginning. In other words, if somebody's got, you know, you have some kind of a tiff with somebody or something's going on, and then good may not, it may be tough, you know, it may be tough love, and it may not look good. But if it's for the good of everything, to heal a situation or relationship or something where you have to say no, or here's the consequences of those actions, that's love, and that's sowing something good. And so it's kind of like the somebody was saying a while back, I heard, and I thought it was pretty true, said, the truth should set you free, but it might aggravate the fire out of you before it gets you there. You know, kind of like that love your enemy deal. Wasn't that kind of aggravating the first time you saw it, and you thought, you just hadn't met my enemy, Lord. And God said, no, I didn't only meet him, I created him. Thank you very much. But speaking the truth. So don't grow weary while you're doing good. In due season. Everybody say due season. You know, we're coming out of winter. We're getting into spring. You notice everything's getting green. And how many knows the weeds are coming? Due season. Man, they've just laid there dormant. You're hoping they don't come back. And the first thing to pop up is the old weed, isn't it? Same way in our relations. That's why we have to keep tweaking them all the time. As for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then finally, he says, and I want you to get this verse here, therefore, as we have opportunity, in other words, we should be people of God, we should be looking for opportunity to let us do good to who? All. So as we have opportunity, and so instead of looking to see how we could, you know, even the playing field or get to, you know, strategize and get us in a position where we could win, look for opportunity to do good for all. And it'll just come back to you. He says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so those are some things that I think are just good stuff to work on as we're as we're going through our life. I'm reading a book. What is the name of the book? Man Searching for Meaning. Or Man Searching for Meaning. Maybe it's Man's Search for Meaning. It's by Viktor Frankl. And my son called and somebody spoke and recommended the book. And I was down the street from the bookstore when I was talking to him. And he called me and he said, this book. And I thought, well, I'll just pop in there. And sure enough, they had no copy. Written back in 1940-something. He was in a concentration camp. And I'm about halfway through it. But he talks about, you know, having an opportunity to do good. And he said, in this concentration camp, he said, it's funny what you look at. And it made me feel so grateful for all I have. Because he said they'd make them stand out in the cold in their shoes. None of them had socks. And he said one morning he remembers waking up and there's a big burly guy next to him in their little bunkhouse. And he said, which was like laying on dirt and things. And he said, but he woke up and the guy had his hands in his face and he was crying. And he thought, well, this is a big, tough guy. What is he crying about? And finally he realizes his shoes laces and his shoes had worn to the point where they wouldn't stay on his feet anymore. And now for the first time since he's been there, he's going to be out working in the cold and the snow with no shoes. He also talked about when you're, and it reminded me of what we're talking about here. He said whenever we're trying to maneuver for our position, and when we're having opposition with each other and we're trying to maneuver, he said, you know, he watched men maneuver thinking that they were going to take a busload here, a busload there, it's going to be better than where they're at. They'd try to maneuver and get to where they could get on the bus. And he said, I watched several times where people went to the gas chambers or it didn't go where it said it was going to go. And they tried to maneuver. And he said, I thought finally, I'm just going to let fate take its course. This is like God knows where I am, and I'm just going to let fate take its course. And I'm not going to try to maneuver for position for me. And I thought, we ought to do that in Christianity. Let God bless us where He wants to bless us and stop trying to maneuver and to get advantage of somebody that we love and because we're not agreeing. I thought, it's just good stuff, isn't it? I ran across something my friends had sent me, and I thought, you know, because my first point today is I want you to think about differences. And think about differences. It's just being different. You know, stop thinking difference is bad. You're just different from me, you know, And difference is not bad, is it? It's just different. But I'm amazed how much emphasis we put on, if you're different, you need to be more like me. You know how, what I'm saying? How we all look at each other and you know, is maybe if we was going to go to lunch today and I said, where would you like to go? And I say, oh, I like Italian. You like Italian? Oh, I don't like it. I can't believe you like Italian. Let's don't go there. Really? You like that stuff? Ooh, you know. It was just different, isn't it? It's not better. It's not worse. You know, I married a lady, and she's just pretty almost perfect. But she's different. I don't know if y'all have this at your house, but my lady, she likes the toilet paper to roll under. Okay, let's take us. How many unders do we have in here? Jana and four others. I can't wait to tell her the survey. How many overs we have? Oh, look at all the overs. Yeah. Wow. But I can't remember trying to tweak me about over and under. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm really proud of me because I've grown. I you know, I used to think, well, if I put it on, it's going over, baby. Because it's more visible. You can see it better. You know, the under people, I don't know about you under people. You know, there's something I just don't trust about you all. No, I'm just kidding. But here's where I've grown to. I thought, you know what, when I put it on, and now honestly, you know, I don't even look anymore. I just put it on the roll and let fate have its way. Sometimes she gets under now. Isn't that something? I'm just, what a man of God your preacher is, right? I've just grown. I'm so proud of myself. It's not bad. It's just different. It's preference. But what's amazing is we let all these little differences mount up because we don't talk about them and they become huge. We're just different. Here's something we inherited. We lived out in the country out here about 15 years, and then we moved to Oklahoma City and we bought a house, and it had a pretty large shower with glass doors on it. And one day I came home and there was a squeegee hanging in the shower. I'm pretty observant. Squeegee hanging in the shower. And so, and then Jenna takes her shower and then she starts squeegeeing the window. And she thought it would be a good deal in our house if everybody squeegeed the shower doors after you're finished. And I thought, you know, I really don't want a squeegee after I shower. But I thought, you know, and I really kind of got a little attitude about it. And I thought, you know, it's something that makes her happy, and it doesn't take very long. And so I just squeegee now after showering. It's not bad. It's just different. I thought, well, how did that come into evolution? How did she come up with it? I don't know. But somehow her little brain said, we should squeegee that window. You know, so we squeegee our doors. That's just different, isn't it? It's not right or wrong. It's different. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, when we're creating boundaries, we'll look at different as bad and wrong. And how many, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but men and women are different. Some of you noticed that? And I won't even tell you to raise your hand on that because I'm afraid somebody wouldn't have noticed. And you know, you need therapy or something. I got this little email a friend of mine sent me. Listen to this. Says, and I want to tell you, this is, talks about the differences of men and women. It says, a brand new store has just opened in New York City that sells husbands. some of you looking. Now, it says when women go to choose a husband, they have to follow the instructions in the entrance. And you can visit the store only once. There are six floors, and the value of the products increase as you ascend the flights. You may choose any item from a particular floor, or you may choose to go up to the next floor, but you cannot go back down except to exit the building. So the woman goes to the husband's store, and she finds her husband. The first floor of the sign reads, Floor 1, these men have jobs. But she's brave, so she continues on. Second floor reads, these men have jobs and love kids. She thought, well, that's pretty good, but man, it's getting better. So she goes to the third floor, and the sign reads, these men have jobs, love kids, and are extremely good looking. She says, wow. But she feels compelled to keep going. So she goes to the fourth floor. The sign reads, these men have jobs, love kids, drop dead good looking, and help with housework. Oh, mercy, she exclaims. I can hardly stand it. Still, she goes to the fifth floor. Sign reads, these men have job, love kids, drop dead gorgeous, help with housework, and have a strong romantic streak. Oh, yeah, now you shout. You're probably married, so it ain't happening. Come back down to reality, okay? She is so tempted to stay, but she goes to the sixth floor, and the sign reads, you are the 31,456th and 12th to this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that women are impossible to please. Thank you for shopping the husband's store. You got to set your limits, ladies. You got to set your limits. Now, to avoid bias charges, the store owner opens a new wives' store just across the street. First floor, wives who love sex. Second floor, wives who love sex and have money. Third floor through the sixth floor have never been visited by a man. Hey! Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. It's not bad, it's just different, isn't it? It's different. What an expression of difference. Here's what I think will help us tremendously is, you know what, to really take that thought. You know, remember we talked about one of the things is your feelings, your thought, and begin to look at those that you're close to in family or work, wherever it is that you have a relationship, and just notice and begin to appreciate their differences. We have so many different people that make up this church and all the families, and it's just, isn't it refreshing to come in and see all the different people and the different talents and the different attitudes and personalities and watch them grow and transform. And I love that. And you see them where they are and their own interest. You know, that's the interest and the talents of everybody that plays and does computers and sound and mows and cooks and cleans. And and same with you. And then you leave here and you're out in the community doing your part and you're free inside your boundaries and you're working and you see people that are different. They drive different. You know, people that drive, don't they just drive you crazy? That drive different. They're just different cautions, different speeds, different whatever. You know, but everywhere you go, they're just different people. But to look at difference is saying that's the beauty of creation. It's not wrong. And stop getting attitudes about different because it's not really that bad. It's just different. It's different. And I know different gets on our nerves and sometimes it's hard for us to tolerate different. But it's not bad. And to just celebrate that, you know. Whether the role goes under or over is different. It's not bad. Where we get in trouble is we try to fix somebody's different. Let me just say, you know, you don't need to raise your hand, but I'm guilty of that. I try to fix people's different because it's not. And I think I've been enlightened and I have a better way. I think my way is just better than yours. And so we get in trouble when we start trying to fix somebody's different without really knowing why they're different, why they feel that way, why they... And it would pay huge dividends just to say, well, tell me about this. And it's so different from where I am. And that's, and instead of saying that's stupid, maybe say that's interesting. How many knows there's a big difference there? If you want me to listen to you, you call me stupid and you've just lost me. If you call me interesting, I'll probably let you in. And here's the thing, you can think you're stupid and say interesting. You can do that. You can multitask. And you're not lying. You're just putting it in a better way. You're just saying it in a way that says, you know, I'll edify this difference because I want to understand. And so I'll say, that's interesting, or that's kind of unique, if you can't use interesting, you know. Somebody was saying, you know, when you want to say, well, that's, you're just goofy. Instead of saying that, say, you're something else. That's just tweaking a little, isn't it? But it makes a big difference how you say things. How many knows you can call your dog, you can say, come here, puppy, I'm going to cut your head off. Come here, come here. And your attitude, he'd come right on over there, wouldn't he? But if you scolded and screamed and, you know, told him, I love you, get over here. You know, he can check it. Your attitude is more than your voice and your words, isn't it? And he's gonna tread off. So difference is not bad until we make it bad. And I'm telling you, to help a lot of people, if you just listen to that, just it's different. You know, we're different. We have different opinions, different things, different. You know, one of you may be a perfectionist. One of you may be a sloppy or a messy, as they call it. You know. Now here, let me say something here. If you're a messy and you don't pick up after yourself, that's not just a messy, that's lazy. Well, that went over well, didn't it? Let us pray and we'll just dismiss, I guess. No, I'm not saying that, and we have to own that, because we could say, well, I'm just different. You know, I don't pick up after myself. Well, that's being slothful. That's being lazy. That's causing somebody. That somebody that's living with you in that same house and what. That's encroaching on their boundaries and they're having to. You know, so that, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when it's just different. You know, it's just different. You have to come to some kind of resolution with the difference, but to look at it differently. No, don't get an attitude about difference. Just. That'll help. I'm telling you, if you just tweak that a little bit, that'll help tremendously on establishing your boundaries and staying healthy with inside where you are. The next thing is time. Here's what I've observed. And our time, can you believe how time just flies? Can you believe how old and big and tall your kids are, your grandkids, or, you know, and how life just... But here's something I know. When you were establishing... Especially you that were courting and dating, when you were establishing your relationship, time meant something different than it does now, right? I just want to spend time with you. You're different. Different had a different meaning, didn't it? When you first met your spouse. I just want to spend all my time with you. You're different. I've never known anybody like you. You know, 2 years later, boy, you're different. I never met anybody like you. Can you pick the tone? Yeah. So but the time, you know, and we have little interrupters. You know, how many just says I have interrupters in my life? It's funny. I watch little Gage interrupt all of your lives. That's so funny. You're all just catering around. And I thought, here's 4, 5, 6 grown-ups, just one little interrupter. And they're just all taking turns, chasing him around and enjoying him and stuff. But most of us, you know, we have kids, and they're a joy, aren't they? But they're interrupters. They're interrupters. And so the whole dynamic of your relationship and where you were and how you used to spend all this time together and desired and made time for each other. Well, interrupters come, work and kids and hobbies and whatever. You know, it could be an array of things, but they all come and then all of a sudden, you know, the interrupters has changed everything. That's why we have to go back to these things and look at it and say, where am I in accordance to my values and how I'm feeling and my attitude and my choices and talents and love and all the things we talked about? We have to go back because, you know, we have interrupters all the time that come. You know, Jana is the HR manager now in Ada, Oklahoma, and you talk about an interrupter. We had to tweak our entire lives. But we talked about that before she went and what it looked like. But it's you know, she's the apple of my eye. I told her the other day, this is so sweet. I just thought of this too. It's just, and you guys can use it. Once your women forget it, about a week and they'll forget where it came from. But I was feeling one of those. I said, you know, out of 7 billion people on the planet, I love you most. That's what she said. Oh, I thought that was good. You did good, man. Come on, you did good. And that's what you should feel about your spouse. You'll leave your father and mother and what? Cleave to her. That's the way it should be. And that's the example it should be. You shouldn't love your kids more than your spouse because they're supposed to see that when you get a spouse, you become one. And then they know to love their spouse more than anybody on the planet. And, you know, and that we show that. But just that saying things that's going to promote your boundaries and your relationship and all. But it takes time, doesn't it? It takes time. And so one of the things I'd have you look at is your time and your schedules to say, you know, where have we come from? And this is the amount of time we used to spend before children or before work or our careers changed. And now this is the amount of time. And I'm working very hard to tweak our time. And it's easier because there's only two of us. But I'm working very hard to tweak that so we can have that time because we can't get that back. We cannot get that back. And whatever you spend your time on today, tomorrow, next week, every day, you can't get that back. So spend it wisely. And relationships should be, at the high pinnacle of our values when we're talking about spending our time. Like the old cliche says, you'll never see on a tombstone, I wish I had spent more time at the office. You just won't see that. You know, your office won't be there when you're laying on your deathbed. Your family will, if you spend time with them now. And if you don't now, they may not be there. So I'd just say, look and see what's happening to your time right now and how much you're spending where you really want to spend that. Because it was important at one time, wasn't it? Here's the number three. Work on your imperfections. You know, not your brother's imperfections. And it doesn't, you know, the Bible says strive for perfection. And that doesn't mean perfectionism. That doesn't mean that. It just means to strive to be complete. In other words, to follow your manual. This is our instruction manual. Follow this is all he's saying. Follow this and we'll be in good shape. And so he's saying, you know, to tweak the things that, spend more time tweaking ourselves than we try to do with our loved ones. That's a very good habit to get into. Tweak ourselves more than we're... You know, when we get into a tiff or something, we're always trying to tweak them. You notice that? If they'd just straighten up a little. Well, it doesn't work just like that. I thought Summer, we had lunch one day, and she was sharing about this little fireproof thing and how to love your spouse. And she said, I was really surprised, Dad. She said, I thought, well, there's some things I just need to tweak about my husband. And she said, so I'll try this to help him out. She's going to help you out, Michael. And she said, I practiced this. And when I got through with it, said, I thought, this was for me. I changed me. I feel better. And said, and as I felt better and as I was practicing this healing thing instead of this tearing down thing, this my thing, this was this giving thing that they had encouraged them to do. She said, I'm the one that was transformed. I'm the one that changed. But in the meantime, she said, it changed my husband. Said, the other day he brought me home a Diet Coke for no reason. She said, and I love this, Michael, I think you did a good job. And said Addie said, where's mine? She said, no, I only brought my wife one home today. That did something. That's small, but that did something for the wife, and it did something for the children to put everything in order and perspective. Sometimes it's not about you, Addison. Sometimes it's about your mother. You know, that's little, isn't it? But it's powerful. It's good stuff. That's what transformation's about. But you gotta spend in time alone. How many knows time alone doesn't really help? If it's just time within itself, you know, to come together and value your partner, or value your friend or your family, whoever you're spending this time with, that you say, I need to restore. It's about the coming together, what you're doing with the time that you're together. And have a plan to love and to talk about issues maybe that needs to be tweaked. And if you have to talk about something that's grating your nerves that they're doing, you know, we can always keep it about us, right? If you're getting on my nerves, me and Adam's hanging out, and Adam's really getting on my nerves in the area. He just keeps talking about work or, you know, something. I don't have to say, you know, you're really getting on my nerves, my friend. But I could say, you know, can I tell you something that I'm dealing with, that I'm struggling with here a little bit when we're spending so much time together, you know. And this is my struggle, Adam. It's not yours. But, you know, it seems like to me we're always talking about work and stuff. Would it be okay to, you know, isn't that different? Then, hey, you're getting on my nerves. Can we just cool that for a while? It's direct. And that's the way I used to do it, so I'm getting better. But I'm just saying, if there is a time when you need to talk about something that's bothering you, keep it about you, you know, and make that time together where it's working time. It's not, you know, we're not coming to duke it out. We're coming to resolve. We're coming to lift up. We're coming to work out our own perfections. I'm working on mine, not yours. Just a big difference, isn't it? Yeah. Number four, be humble. You know, be humble. Humble yourself under the hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. So many battles that just end poorly and end badly, it's because there's no humility, isn't there? It lacks humility. We get the attitude, there's no humility, and then we just start really trying to, like I said, be that lawyer and defend our case instead of humbly coming in. I think it's hard when somebody comes to me with tears and we've got an issue and they come with tears and saying, you know, I love you, but this is, I need to visit with you about such and such. Isn't that powerful for you? That's powerful, I think. They humble themselves and it's about me, but, you know, there's some things I need to tweak in my life to work on, and it involves you, and would you help me with it? See, that's humility, isn't it? Jesus, before he was crucified, he put the towel over his arm and he got a bowl of water and he went around washing his disciples' feet and just showing them humility and what a servant looks like. He's going to the cross for them and yet he's serving them. And he's saying, hey guys, this is what I want you to do. You're going to be out giving your life away, but I want you to be a servant leader. I don't want you to be a dictator leader. How many knows the Bible says the greatest of you of those among you will be a servant? You quit serving. The day we quit serving is the day we get an attitude and we get selfish and we get it's all about me. The day we quit serving. When I'm squeegeeing the shower door, you know what? I'm just serving a desire in my wife's life. I told her, I said, you know what I think we ought to do? Get one of those little, I saw it on TV, a little spray bottle, and every so often it just goes off and it cleans automatically. We don't have to even do nothing. And I'm not sure why she didn't like that brilliant idea, but she didn't. So we squeegee. And I'm really okay with that. I have fun with you, but I really am, because I think, you know, this is something that helps. It looks better when you're done, so hey, let's squeegee. I tweaked. I'm telling you, tweaking helps. It just, whole attitude, it helps. But to be humble, people will let you in when you're humble, won't they? People will listen to you when they're humble. Just so be humble. And the last one is just love God. I think the greatest thing we can do for our kids and for our spouses and for everyone around us, I really do, I think, is just love God. Now, before you say, well, I got that one, let's read something in John chapter 14, and then we'll close. Everybody went in here say, I'm sure everybody, all of us went in here would say, oh, I got that one, Pastor. I love God. You can put that down. I've got that one. I've got that one. But here's the real test. It's not saying that you love God that really counts. But it's serving God by definition of what He calls love, right? Summer was talking about also about her kids and we were talking about raising kids and the difficulties and stuff. And I said, well, remember, I said, that's why I always told you kids, before I give you your punishment, whether it's a spanking or send you to your room or grounding, or I'd say, remember, most of the time I'd always tell you, well, I love you or I wouldn't be doing this. And she said, yeah, I used to think when I was a kid, why is he telling me that? If he loved me, why are you going ahead and doing all this? She said, now I know. But then I was like, why is he telling me? I love you, but I'm going to, you know, bend over, you know, or go to your room or whatever the thing was. And she says, now I understand. And I think it's because sometimes our kids think, you know, well, you're mean, you're punishing me. And I just want them to know that I want to say to them, I love you. I can't tell you how many times I told my son, he was always into some little something. It wasn't, you know, bad. It was probably most of his aggravation or hanging with the wrong folks. He's hanging with a kid one time. I said, you need to just distance yourself from him, son. He's going to get you in trouble. And I got a phone call one morning, this Mr. Eldred, and I said, yes. And he said, well, your son was driving a car last night, and I guess one of his friends that was mooned me and my fiance while we were driving down the interstate after a concert. He said, your son's a good driver. He got away. He could do something good, yes. He wasn't in a police car. He was just out on a date, but he was an off-duty police officer, and he called me. And I said, well, what's the recourse? What do we do from here? He said, well, I'm not going to do anything. I just wanted you to know. And I said, well, I appreciate you calling. I go in my son's room. I said, get up. The police are coming. You lied? Yes, I did. Or prophesied, one of the two, because I thought, you keep this behavior up, the police are coming. And I said, were you driving your car last night and one of your friends mooned off? Well, he did, and I told him not to. I said, what did I tell you to do? He said, you told me not to hang around him. I said, well, he's not coming, but next time he may be. Here's the consequence. You know, but you got to love them. They're your kids. You can't kill them. You created them. So you got to love them. But he says in John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, well, I do that. Well, so you always love your spouse, your friends, everybody unconditionally? You always love your enemies, do you? You always pray over them and bless them, do you? You always following all the commandments to not steal or kill or commit adultery or whatever, you know, all the commandments. I'm keeping all the commandments, keeping the Sabbath holy, keeping, you know, all the, I do all, you know, it really? He said, this is how I know, and this is how you will know that you actually love me, when you keep my commandments. And if you think about it, that's pretty much the way it is in our house, isn't it? When you're raising kids, Johnny, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Susie, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. If you don't, there's going to be consequences. So it's pretty much that way. He says, then here's the payoff. If you keep my commandments, I will pray. I'll have a visit with my Father, and He will give you another helper. In other words, if you'll keep my commandments, you don't have to operate in your own strength. Now you can operate in my strength. That's why God wants you to keep His commandments, because He said, you can do it alone, or you can do it my way, and I'll send you supernatural help that you never knew existed. I will pray the Father. I'll have a visit with my Father. Isn't that intriguing to you? Isn't that a blessing to know that when you're trying to do good and you're trying to follow commandments, that God, that Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to God Himself about you? That's awesome, isn't it? But you just think about that for a minute. Whenever your kids are trying their very best in a bad situation to make things right, you know, whatever it is, they've come and they're in a bad situation here, but you can see them struggling to do what's right. Don't you just want to take all your resources and pour on them and help them to achieve that? God says, that's the same way I am with my kids. He says, I'll send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So every time we try to do what's right, God said, I'm going to send you a helper that's going to be with you. You're never alone when you're trying to do what's right. We're only alone when we try to get an attitude or cop something out here and then do it our own way. He says, fine, you can do that. Remember, we have choices, free will choices, but you cannot survive. You cannot do this without reaping the consequences. You can yell at her if you want to, men, but you cannot do it without reaping the consequences. He said, love her. Don't scream at her. Love her. And if you'll love her, he said, you will reap the consequences of the blessings instead of the consequences. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. Remember, the truth may aggravate the fire out of you, but it'll set you free. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. We cannot receive truth about the truth about the matters that we're in if we don't do it keeping with God's commandments. We'll get lost in the selfishness and pity and darkness and whatever it is. But if we're not following God's word when we're having these encounters with others, we will not see the truth for what it is. It'll always look worse. It'll look different. It'll look whatever, muddled. But we'll never know the truth. But when we start following God's command and humble ourselves and approach somebody with love, unconditional love, and start doing it the way God said to do it, he says, I'll send you a helper, and you'll know the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. That's an advantage you have right now. For you that know Christ, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And that's where he is right now if you've asked him in to be your Lord and Savior. He's inside of you. And every time we say, I'm going to do it God's way, not my way, all this light and love and power comes to light so we can resolve things instead of beat each other to death, verbally or otherwise. Operate in love. Love says, I'm just going to love you where you are. We're different. We're going to tweak whatever needs to be tweaked, but I'm going to operate in love on my part, and we're going to see the blessings of God in our relationship, one way or other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. You said if we'll know your word, it'll set us free. And so we thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the command that all of us who are spiritual, all of us who belong to Jesus Christ, we've been given a command and an order to restore the situation, whatever it may be. Not to abuse it, not to try to get our own way, not to fight for our rights. Now, we're not to be doormats, but you said, you know what, if you'll stand up with love and humility and restore, there's blessings. I pray, God, that you would help us as we establish healthy boundaries for our lives, that we'll be focused mainly on us and let you focus on our spouses, our friends, our coworkers, whomever we're close to. Those that we have to interact with daily and weekly. Help us, God, when we're around them to work on us, to tweak us, to look at the log that's in our own eye instead of the speck that's in our brother's, and to establish these healthy boundaries. This is up to us, Lord. We can have a great and marvelous life if we so choose. But we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to first and foremost look at us. And help us to realize that most of the things that we pick at aren't bad, they're just different. And open our eyes to that truth so we can appreciate and maybe understand the people around us and their differences. And learn to appreciate them. We thank you, Lord, for loving us enough today to grow us to a new level through the power of the Holy Word. Help us to keep your commandments so we can draw on all the strength and love and light that the Holy Spirit desires to give us every day. And help us to put down the flesh and to operate in the fruit of the Spirit so we can have a wonderful and beautiful life that reflects Jesus Christ to everyone, including those we love most. In Jesus' name we ask this. And all the church said, Amen.